Hey, I'm Anderson Cooper. Welcome to the 360 Podcast. What is the end game here in Ukraine? Let's get started. Right now, we are on the edge of Independence Square, one of the several roads that actually leads to the square. This is the first checkpoint, the first blockade that is still in effect. As we mentioned last night, protesters are still camping out here. You can see about a half dozen of them right here, huddled before a fire, trying to stay warm against the cold night air. It is about 3 a.m. Here on Wednesday morning. They are here because they refuse to leave until they say they see changes in the new interim government here in Ukraine. The old president fled. You know that. He's now in Russia. There is a new government here in power. But until these protesters see the changes that they bled for and died for, they say they are going to stay here to continue to put pressure on. And all the barricades are up. You see a lot of signs of the struggle that took place here. A makeshift shield over here, with some people have put rosaries on. This is really a shrine. This is, in many ways, sacred ground because of the blood that was shed on these streets. Flowers, thousands of flowers all throughout the many blocks of the square brought by people, but they come by the hundreds, by the thousands every single day to pay their respects. Even here in the darkness, they light candles. They bring religious items, mementos, to remember those who lost their lives. And look at this barricade. It's one of probably about five or six barricades down this block. This is the first one that was built to try to prevent riot police from entering the square and attacking the protesters. It's made out of anything that the protesters could find, tires, old fences, corrugated metal, sheet metal. All of these barricades remain just as they were more than a week and a half ago at the brunt of the fighting here. As I said, it has been a day of extraordinary developments, both here in Kiev and in Crimea. Unarmed Ukrainian troops walking into gunfire, Russian troops firing in the air. We'll show you that video coming up shortly. That happened in Crimea. Russia's President Vladimir Putin speaking out, making some outlandish claims. We'll show you that. President Obama challenging him on the facts. We have also tonight new details emerging about their recent phone call, new reporting also on possible efforts to offer President Vladimir Putin a way out, an off-ramp, if you will. A senior administration official says that German Chancellor Angela Merkel spoke with President Obama today reportedly about her efforts to construct some kind of off-ramp for Vladimir Putin. A lot of developments to talk about all throughout this next hour. But first, I just want to give you a roundup of the big moments from today. Take a look. A tense standoff between Russian and Ukrainian forces at an airbase in Crimea. The base has been surrounded by Russian troops for the past few days. The Ukrainian commander walks unarmed toward the Russians, two rifles pointed right at him. He's backed up by 300 of his own troops who are also unarmed. The exchange ends with words, not bullets, but it's an example of the tension in the region. Russian forces have surrounded 10 Ukrainian military bases. Later in the day, warships from both Ukraine and Russia were heading toward Crimea. And as military tension increased, so too did the rhetoric between the United States and Russia.
General, watch your back there. Okay, right there.
Here in Kiev, Secretary of State John Kerry toured Independence Square, the site of so much bloodshed just last month, and paid his respects at a shrine for those killed in the protests.
How are you? Good to see you. How are you?
After meeting with Ukraine's new leaders, he turned to Russia.
It is clear that Russia has been working hard to create a pretext for being able to invade further. Russia has talked about Russian-speaking minority citizens who are under siege. They're not.
While the U.S. is preparing economic and diplomatic sanctions, Kerry made clear a military option is not on the table.
President Obama and I want to make it clear to Russia and to everybody in the world we are not seeking confrontation.
Vladimir Putin, who's been largely silent since troops began taking over Crimea, denied that forces from Russia were even in Crimea.
They were local self-defense teams. Let me make my question more specific. Did we participate in training those teams? No, we did not.
And at least for today, President Obama seemed to get the last word.
There is a strong belief that Russia's action is violating international law. I know President Putin seems to have a different set of lawyers making a different set of interpretations, but I don't think that's fooling anybody.